Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start off by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. In our last episode, we talked about signature Christmas songs, different singers and bands that have one particular Christmas song associated with them above all others, like White Christmas for Bing Crosby or All I Want for Christmas Is You for Mariah Carey. And then we talked about some of the many artists that have recorded lots of Christmas music, but don't have that one signature Christmas song, like Tony Bennett or Frank Sinatra or Leanne Rimes or Michael Bublé. This time, I thought we'd take a spin on that topic and look at songs and what artist might be considered to have recorded the definitive version. Now, this is all opinion, but I thought it might be interesting to talk about, and I invited an artist on to do just that. Suzanne from Suzanne's Band, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Ken.
Now, I have given you a list, almost like homework.
And I've checked it twice.
So. Well, let me back up a sec and mention that this is sort of a twist on the last episode.
This is my forte. I love knowing the history of songs, when they were written, who wrote them, why they wrote it, and who's covered it since then, because it really gives you a good feel for relating to the song itself. And there's just something, it like opens a door when you're the listener, when you know a little bit more about it, it makes more sense, or maybe, you know, you're more empathetic with the situation that's happening in the song, whatever the case may be. So I'm really looking forward to focusing on Christmas and doing that same type of thing. This is going to be a really fun conversation.
So the first one on the list, 12 Days of Christmas. Who do you think of?
Well, let me preface this by saying that as we're going through these, I think age makes a difference in some cases, you know, as to when you heard something and what year, you know, your artist was popular when it came out. And so that's going to come to play in several of these that are have been around for many generations. So with 12 Days of Christmas, that's one of those songs that goes back to the 16th century. So it's had a lot of listeners.
Yeah.
My particular favorite and the one that always just pops straight to my head is Straight No Chaser. And I don't know whether you've heard their version or not, but the fact that they use a sample of Africa, you know, in that as well, that was pretty creative. And it was also a career starter for them, too. So you've got all the usuals. You've got the Perry Como version. You've got Bing Crosby, John Denver. Many people have recorded it. Evidently, Jeff Foxworthy did a spoof on it. I haven't heard. Yes. I haven't really listened to it all. But I think as far as a serious spoof, I think Straight No Chaser did a great job. And I still hear it. You know, it always comes on the radio, you know, for sure. At Christmas time, it still comes out. So I would say that's my favorite.
This was a tough one, but the one that I most often think of when I hear it, and the metric that I use for it is if I'm singing along to somebody doing the 12 Days of Christmas, and part of what I'm singing is something from a different version, that's obviously the one that stuck with me. Mm-hmm. And the one that does that for me is the one that John Denver recorded with the Muppets.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that that probably sounds silly, that that's really, you think that's the definitive version? But for me, that is Miss Piggy coming in on the five golden rings, ba-dum, bump, bump, every time. Mm-hmm. That I'm anticipating that when I hear anybody else do that version, that song.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like Okay. As far as spoofs go, Bob Rivers doing the 12 Pains of Christmas is one, and Bob and Doug McKenzie trying to do the 12 Days of Christmas, and they said it's just too hard for us, and they skip a whole bunch of days, and it's definitely a product of the 80s and when they were popular on SCTV. I know there are lots of serious versions of that. The Muppets with John Denver, probably not very serious when you compare it to, you know, Bing Crosby or Ray Conniff or Mitch Miller or some of the legends. But for me, I'll stick with John Denver and the Muppets. The next one on the list, Blue Christmas.
I would say Elvis just off the top because I'm such an Elvis fan anyway. We actually had an Elvis impersonator at our wedding. It's that big of a deal in this house. So I got to give Elvis props on that one. But I do sing this live. And so the version that I kind of pull in to add to how I do it when I play it live is Sheryl Crow. I thought she did a good job with this too. So there's like a second place I would definitely pull her in. And of course, with a lot of these Christmas songs, you could say Michael Bublé in there too, because he's like done everything. But I didn't realize Kane Brown had a version of this too. So it's on my list to listen. I've kind of created a listen list as I've done the research on these and found out there's versions out there I hadn't even heard yet. So that'll be interesting.
Well, Elvis is definitely at the top of my list, too. When I think of Blue Christmas, I think of Elvis Presley. And Sheryl Crow was number two on mine. I think her version I think it's terrific. I think that a lot of people are in Elvis's shadow when they try and do this song. And either they try to emulate him or they try to go a completely different way. And it just is so obvious that that's what they're doing that it just doesn't work. Mm-hmm. But Sheryl Crow does a really great job with it. One more version that a lot of people probably haven't heard is Bruce Springsteen. This hasn't been released as like a single, but when he did Songs from the Promise, which was an album of stuff that had never come out before. And when he released that, there was a companion video of four or five songs that were live versions of the songs from the Promise. And it ended with a live performance of Blue Christmas that he did somewhere in New Jersey. Of course it was in New Jersey, but it's so cool. Mm-hmm. That here's Bruce, and there's obvious tips to Elvis in that because we know Bruce loved Elvis, but it's Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band. It was probably around 2010, and it's a big party. It's probably 6.5 minutes long. It's just a big party for this song about being sad at Christmas, and I just love the mix of that. Yeah. And I've always been a big Bruce fan, so yeah. I just love that. Deck the Halls.
The version that I've heard a lot is the She Daisy one from 1999. Mm-hmm. How they really kind of changed it up quite a bit. I haven't heard that many different versions of that, and it's public domain, so you would think that more people would have covered it because it's so much easier, you know, when you don't have to pay the royalties to cover something. It's been Deck the Halls has been more popular for like TV movies and TV shows and things like that than a definitive cover. But have you heard one that maybe stood out for you?
Well, the one that I always think of first is Mannheim Steamroller.
Oh,
it was the first track on the first side of their first Christmas album. It was the first thing I ever heard from them. I can still remember walking into a record store in December of 1984, and they put that record on, and I bought it just from hearing that song. And it's just such a rich memory for me. And full disclosure, Mannheim Steamroller helped get the Sounds of Christmas online station off the ground. They sponsored us the first couple of years. So there's a little extra that I love about them. But that song for me, that's just such a rich memory that I immediately think of that. I like Nat King Cole's version. I like Jackie Wilson's version. The Commodores, and this was after I think Lionel Richie left them, did a really neat version where they switched the syncopation up so it sounds a little bit different. And you have to listen to it a couple times if you want to sing along with it. Otherwise, you're going to mess it up. But that one's kind of neat, too, if you're looking for something that's a little bit different. But yeah. I think all of those versions are terrific.
Mm-hmm.
How about Frosty the Snowman?
Oh, my goodness. I know my first association with this was the movie, you know, because that's probably one of the first things that I saw. And even though Gene Autry did the original recordings on not only this song, but a lot of Christmas songs, kind of like mm-hmm. Perry Como, it was a house staple, you know, that everybody heard those first. But since I kind of missed that generation-wise, I would say Johnny Mathis, his voice just really, you know, just gets to my heart, you know, on some of his versions. So he kind of pulled up as my number one favorite on a lot of these, although, you know, Burl Ives, when he was singing a lot of these Christmas favorites too, that's always really nice. And of course, the Ronettes that were popular and did so many Christmas songs. So, I would definitely say Johnny Mathis on this one, I guess, for me.
I'd have to mention Jimmy Durante and the Ronettes.
Yeah.
But one of the versions that I really love is a duet with Leon Redbone and Dr. John. It's such a New Orleans flavored take on this song. And you know both of these guys. And hearing them together doing this is just a treat. And I know that's one of the really cool things about Christmas music, that it brings together artists, and there's so many neat duets like that are just fun. I mean, the one that really stands out is Bowie and Bing, David Bowie and Bing Crosby. But this one from Leon Redbone's Christmas album around 1987, 1988, I think. It's a Leon Redbone Christmas album, but Dr. John appears on this track and they duet on this. And if you don't know it, it's worth seeking out. And so in my humble opinion. All right. God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen.
Oh, man, this is one of those that's got a slew of people that have definitely stepped up to the plate to record it, you know, from Mannheim Steamroller, as you mentioned, and Neil Diamond, Rascal Flatts, Nat King Cole of Perry Como, obviously, has always got his hand in everything. But my favorite on this is Lou Rawls, and that's who I have on my playlist, because I wanted something that was just smooth and buttery, and he just did such a nice little version of that. It's on my Christmas playlist.
Well, I really like the version the Bare Naked Ladies did with Sarah McLachlan. The Bare Naked Ladies had released this without her. They did a version of it that went out to their fan club sometime in the early 90s, I think, which is when it first got on my radar. But I really like the one, I like what she adds to it, and I really like their version. Bruce Coburn did a really neat version, I think in the early 90s, that I would put up there. And Carly Simon on her Christmas album in 2004-ish, I think. She does a really nice take on this too. She does a really great version of It Came Upon a Midnight Clear as well. I don't remember if that's on her Christmas album or if that was a single. I feel like she did it with someone else. We're just talking about duets. That's really neat too. But that's how we get talking about all kinds of different songs and get way off track.
It's a whole nother podcast.
Yes.
Sweats.
Yeah. All right. How about Grown-Up Christmas List?
Oh, man. Well, for me, I think because of the first time I heard this song, I would say Amy Grant. I know there's been other people that have recorded it, you know, from Kelly Clarkson to Michael Bublé and Manhattan Transfer, Aretha. There's several versions, but I guess because she was the first person that I heard do the song, I think that's who I tend to hear most in my head when that song comes up.
For me, it's Natalie Cole, and that was right around the same time that Amy Grant did it. It might actually have been a year before. I think there was like a David Foster Christmas. I don't know if it was a Christmas special or if it was, or they just called the album that.
Yep, 1989.
Yeah.
And Amy's was 92. So they were a few years apart. So
close. But I always think of Natalie Cole first with that one. Happy Xmas, war is over. Happy Christmas, war is over.
I think John Lennon's probably going to be the standout on this one. I think he's probably got it hands down, but I know Miley Cyrus and John Legend and a few others have done some versions, but I got to give it to John on that one.
Yeah, I do too. It's funny, and I feel like I was talking about this song on the last episode. I was, because we got to talking about John Legend, and he does a really nice version of this as well. Mm-hmm. And I was saying that this is one of those songs that I feel very possessive of and judgmental about, even though I have no real reason, because I had nothing to do with it. But it's just one of those songs that I love John Lennon's version. Mm-hmm. And lots of people cover it. And I just, you know, it's one of those songs that a lot of artists cover just because they sort of know it. But there's no heart to their cover. There's no magic that you get with a Christmas song. And I feel like, especially for this one, that really bugs me that they treat this just like they would treat Jingle Bell Rock. So that bothers me. So I dismiss a lot of those. But John Legend doesn't do that. And when John Legend sings Christmas songs, one of the things I love about it is that you can feel him smiling. Mm-hmm. When he's singing it. And that's a little bit of that Christmas magic. The Moody Blues did this too. And I like their version. It's it's very Moody Blue-ish, which is kind of nice. They did a Christmas album early 2000s, I think. And a lot of the songs didn't have that sort of Moody Blues feel, but I feel like this one did. So... And I feel like I should say at this point, remember, all this is opinion. This is not fact.
I had forgotten about Moody Blues and doing Christmas music. So I need to pull up some of their things and add some of their songs to my Christmas playlist. That's a great idea.
You know, the Moody Blues, they did this Christmas album in the early 2000s. I think it was the early 2000s. And...
Hmm. Which seems late for them, because
yeah.
It seems like that they were more popular so many more years before that.
But they did a single, and I don't know what the circumstances were, but they did a single, a cover of What Child Is This in the 70s, and it really sounds like a Moody Blues song.
Hmm.
A lot of the stuff on their Christmas album is called December. A lot of it doesn't necessarily sound that way. I mean, Justin Hayward still has that voice, but it doesn't have that, whatever that thing is that made it a Moody Blues record. But that version of What Child Is This has that. So I don't know if you can find that one still anymore, but that's worth tracking down. If you're a Moody Blues fan and you didn't know existed. You should.
I know you're out there somewhere. It's probably one of my favorites. So
yeah.
Put that on and have a jam in the car occasionally.
How about Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas?
Oh, seeing as how we are avid Meet Me in St. Louis fans in this household, I would have to say Judy Garland, because ever since my daughter was small, we used to quote songs from the movie. So that's definitely my favorite. I didn't even know that Frank Sinatra and the Carpenters had done one, but I would say the Pretenders is my very, very close second, because I thought Chrissy Hynde did a fabulous job on her version.
Yeah.
And it was very definitive. You know, you knew it was the Pretenders when you were hearing it. And So I would say those are my two choices for sure.
You know, I don't know what I originally would have said, but I got a message on Twitter. I don't know if they're called tweets anymore because they changed it to X.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Let me see if I can find the message. And I want to give credit to the person who had said this. Mm-hmm. And I should have been better prepared and I would have this. I haven't talked to this guy beforehand, so I'm not going to mention his whole name. His first name is Jacob. Mm-hmm. And he was commenting on the last podcast about the signature songs. Mm-hmm. And he said for Frank Sinatra, he mentions Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas because Frank added the lyrics, Hang a Shining Star about the highest bough. And I had forgotten that, but it was Frank was trying to make the song happier than it was when Judy Garland did it for Meet Me in St. Louis, because that original version was not the happiest Christmas song.
Right, right.
Not that all the Christmas songs have to be happy, and I'm not dumping on Judy Garland or Meet Me in St. Louis, but Frank wanted this to be an uplifting, more powerful song. So he suggested adding this into it. So that immediately makes it one of my favorites, that knowing that about it. It's really hard to pick another one. I do like the Pretenders version. You know who did a really nice version, who we don't hear a lot of stuff from, and he recorded a lot of Christmas music? Mel Torme. He had such a rich voice, and this is a really, I mean, I know he had a connection with Judy Garland, but if you haven't heard Mel Torme's version of that and you like that song, check it out, because here's one of the litmus tests I do for Christmas songs. If they sing the song and you feel like you believe what they're saying, then it's good. Then it has that magic. And when you hear Mel Torme sing, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, you believe him. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like, you know what? That makes it a cut above. Mm-hmm. Here Comes Santa Claus.
Oh, boy. Elvis, for sure, is a standout for me again on this one. I never heard the original, the Gene Autry version, so can't speak for that one. I know Glenn Campbell and Chicago and Pentatonix have all done some versions of it, but Elvis is my standout on this, because that's probably the first person that I heard do this, because I had one of those giant LPs. I think it was called Blue Christmas. It was Elvis's Christmas album, but that was what I had growing up in my house to listen to, so that's where I heard a lot of those on.
I would agree with Elvis and Gene Autry. Those are two that I definitely hear when I think of that song. There are a lot of fun ones. But one of the ones that when the Sounds of Christmas station started 2007, we were on Live 365, which is back. New people run it now. It's not quite the same, but they're trying to do the same thing. But back in 2007, you could rate the songs that were playing. And that went on for a few years. You were able to do that. And the version of Here Comes Santa Claus by 38 Special was one of the highest rated songs I played year after year.
Oh, I need to check that one out. I love 38 Special.
Yeah. This was right around 2000, maybe 2001, I think, when that came out. But it is a fun one, updated, but not needlessly. They do it in their style. They're not pretending to be Gene Autry or Elvis or anybody else. They're 38 Special when they do that. Mm-hmm. And not everybody can take someone else's Christmas song and do it in their own style and make it work, but they pull it off. Mm-hmm. So Holly Jolly Christmas.
Believe it or not, after all the years that I've been playing, I just added this one into my Christmas set list this last year. And I thought, man, where has this been all my life? And it's a nice upbeat one, too. But the Michael Bublé version is the one I actually pulled to do this. I thought he did a really good remake of it, and he kind of gave it that swing, the swing factor that comes across well live. So I like that one. I know the there's been a lot of country versions of it with Alan Jackson and Lady A, as they are now, and different people. But obviously, Burl Ives is another standout. So for me, with the movies and everything else, so I would say Burl Ives and Michael Bublé are my two on this one.
Well, I've definitely picked Burl Ives. There's a group called The Empty Pockets that did a really nice version, 2010, 2011, I think, on their Christmas album that I really like a lot. And, Leanne Rimes. I was just talking about Leanne Rimes.
Yep.
She did it. Now her version is, she did one of those things that I don't know if it's really a medley. If it's, is it a medley? You're an artist. I can ask. Is it a medley if it's two songs? Does that still count as a medley?
Yeah. And another thing is, you know, a mashup, you know, we'll retake several songs and put them together. You know, that's a common thing to do too. I love doing those.
Well, she did one with Holly Jolly Christmas and Frosty the Snowman. And and it's really, it's very Christmassy.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it a lot. And I like thinking of that song when I think of Holly Jolly Christmas, it's Burl first. But then I really like that Leanne Rimes.
Mm-hmm.
How about I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day?
My big one right now on this is Casting Crowns. This one is part of my set list when I play at places that don't mind me playing something more of a downer, which this song can kind of be. It's not your Chuck Berry, get up off the floor and dance kind of Christmas music, but I love doing this on the piano, and I love Casting Crowns, emotional version of this. I thought they did a super job when they did this in 2008.
Yeah, I do love their version, and that's my wife's favorite version. My favorite is Frank Sinatra, but Casting Crowns is definitely a second. The Civil Wars did one that's really cool, and Echo Smith did one, and Roger McGuinn, who is the singer for the Byrds, Roger McGuinn is really cool. He has this thing called the Folk Den that's online, and every month he posts. I should probably have checked before I started doing this to make sure he's still doing it, but he was last year anyway. But every month he posts his version of a folk song of some kind. And every December it's a Christmas song. And one year he did I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. A few years ago, he collected a lot of these and put out a Christmas album. I think this is on that. But it's really neat because he has such a distinct voice. If you like the Byrds, he sang lead on pretty much lead, or they were doing harmonies, but he has a very recognizable voice, and it's really kind of neat to hear him sing this particular song. So
nice.
Yeah. I saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus.
Well, this is one of these cases where I kind of like the original. You know, there's nothing like the little kid, you know, doing his own thing on this. Yeah. And lucky guy, he got to marry Batgirl for a couple of years, too. So not only did he get a hit song, he got a hit girl. So, oh, my goodness. So I think the Ronettes did a version, too, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a lot of other people that stood out on this one, you know, since the original. But I'm sure you've got some others.
Well,
you see more that comes across your desk.
For me, this is one of those kind of Christmas songs that I feel like it should be a kid singing it.
Yes.
Because it seems kind of weird. I mean, Amy Winehouse has a version of this. Bowling for Soup did a version. Dolly Parton did a version of this just a few years ago. John Cougar Mellencamp did a version for the first Very Special Christmas album. And those are all very recognizable. Mm-hmm. But it just, you know, it just kind of seems a little odd to me to hear
right
a grown-up singing this particular song. I really like the Jackson 5 version. Michael, little, you know, my wife says baby Michael, you know, he was a little kid singing this song, and that's just, it fits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think the Jackson 5 Christmas album is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But I think especially for this song, he fits. I'll be home for Christmas.
I would say Bing Crosby's kind of a standout on this. I know Sarah Evans, Elvis, Michael Bublé, Kelly Clarkson, Josh Groban, that, you know, there's a shopping list.
Yeah.
Of it covers on this one. It will be hard to pick, as, you know, if you were picking a secondary, but this one just kind of stands out as a Bing thing almost, and in my book, you know, because he just kind of set the bar on it as far as tone. And I mean, other people have done great covers, but I know for me, just growing up in that era, he's kind of my personal standout.
For me, it's Dean Martin. A lot of the same reasons that you mentioned for Bing. But Dean Martin is the one for this particular song that I just really like, and just makes me, when I hear this song, I think of him.
There's a warmth that comes through with Dean Martin's voice. I mean, you just kind of feel it, and it wraps around you like a blanket, you know, when you're hearing that song.
Well, and what a lot of people forget is that this song, this was a World War II song. This was a song from the guys over there who were hoping that they were going to be home for Christmas.
In 1943.
Yeah.
In the middle of it all.
A lot of them weren't. One of the things I like about Josh Groban's version is that it starts with, well, one of the versions, because I think he did too. But the one that, I think it was the one that was on the album. Now I'm not sure. Doesn't matter. Anyway, it starts with a little recording of a bunch of soldiers' greetings to their families back home.
Aww.
And then the song comes up, and I think that really captures what that song's about.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
So that's a recent one that I really do like. Oh, there was one more, and I oh, you know who else? Tony Bennett did a version of this in the on his Count Basie Christmas album in the late 2000s, and that is a little jazzier. It's not the slow, majestic version that you're thinking of. Mm-hmm. It's bouncy. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
For me, Johnny Mathis. I just love his warmth, his tone, and just everything about that. That's my favorite.
I like Johnny Mathis a lot. Bing did a great version of this. Martina McBride does a really nice one of this. She did her second Christmas album 6-7 years ago. Could have been more. I don't want to think it's more, but time is funny. But she did a really cool, it wasn't very country, it was like a big band kind of jazzy. And she did a really great version of this. And it has just enough of what you're expecting so that you like it, but it's also a new spin on it, I think. So I really like hers. How about It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year? I feel like we're going back to Johnny Mathis.
Oh, well, on this one, for me, I think the first person that I heard do this on the radio for me was Amy Grant, because when Christmas songs were being played more on the radio stations and everything, that just kind of stood out. I think it's kind of funny that Vince Gill did a version too. You know, it's like, oh, another interesting commonality on that. But I know Garth Brooks, Chicago, there's been a lot of covers, and Harry Connick, he did this song as well. So that's, I like when he brings in that jazzy feel, and that's a great song to jazz up for sure.
Well, I like Andy Williams
mm-hmm.
and Amy Grant. Rosemary Clooney does a really beautiful version of this. It's just, It's just so rich, and it just feels, you know, I hate to keep saying it feels Christmassy or that you just believe her, but I think both of those things are true.
Extra value is what you get.
Yeah.
You buy Coronet. That was how I knew Rosemary Funny. It's for the commercials.
Well, I think her version of this, I just really love it. For me, that's the version that, and I think, you know, I love Andy Williams, but I hear that one and it's just been for, I don't know, 20 years now. It's the commercial for back to school stuff where the, you know, that they use it for the kids are dreading it and the parents are so happy because they're shopping at wherever, you know, and that's bad that it's a commercial for so long. And I still don't know who it's for, but the parents are so happy that the kids are going back to school. And I feel like that's taken a little shine off of that as a Christmas song for me. And no offense to Andy Williams. He has lots of great songs that I do love.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's one of the things that makes Rosemary Clooney's stand out for me.
Mm-hmm.
Jingle Bell Rock.
Brenda Lee, for me, I think she's definitely a standout on this one. I didn't know that then you had brought up 38 Special before, but this is another one that 38 Special covered. So now I'm going to have to go back and look that up. When I'm looking up the other songs and hear some of those, I thought that's pretty cool. And Hall & Oates and the Beach Boys did some versions too. And Hall & Oates was actually a good music video back when they were coming out in the 80s. And all that stuff was very popular back then.
I like Bobby Helms, who I think did it first. And right. And Hall & Oates is probably one of the most popular versions. There was a duet in the 60s that Chubby Checker and Bobby Rydell did of this. And if you know who both of those guys are, you'll really appreciate it. If you don't, it's probably not going to mean anything to you. They didn't do anything groundbreaking with the song, but if you know the voices, it's like anything else. If you're one of your favorite artists does a Christmas song, it means something more to you. And
right.
For that, Chubby Checker and Bobby Rydell do that for me. Oh, Stephen Bishop does a really nice version of that song. Stephen Bishop is a very gifted songwriter. He had a giant hit with It Might Be You from the movie Tootsie in the early 80s. That wasn't his only hit, but that was a giant one. But he's done a bunch of Christmas singles, and he has a Christmas album. It used to be called Have Yourself a Merry Little Bishmas, because his name is Stephen Bishop. So it was Bishmas.
Well, that sounds cool.
But he does a really nice version of Jingle Bell Rock too. And Jingle Bell Rock is one of those songs. So many artists have done it. And
right.
Sometimes when I get, like you had mentioned, I get a lot of Christmas songs that come across my desk. And sometimes it's yeah. like, hey, we got 10 minutes of studio time left. Let's knock out a Christmas song. All right, why don't you guys do Jingle Bell Rock? And they do it, and it's serviceable and it's okay, but it doesn't, it's forgettable. I get so many versions by bands or singers that are popular that you would know, and it doesn't sound like them. It sounds like this could be anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be
their sound.
Yeah, you should be able to tell. Like when I was talking about 38 Special before with Here Comes Santa Claus, that's a 38 Special song. But there are so many versions of Jingle Bell Rock that don't do that. But Stephen Bishop's is a good one. And it's probably like the other one I mentioned. If you don't know who Stephen Bishop is, it may not do anything for you. And I'm sorry, it should. But how about Jingle Bells?
Oh, man. Well, I think, you know, probably Bing Crosby, you know, and the Andrews Sisters, all the ones. I know Barbara Streisand had done one that was pretty interesting. Smokey Robinson, Dolly Parton, I mean, Natalie Cole, obviously. It's one of those that you hear so much that, man, it's almost hard to pick a favorite version because the song is so short and they're all so different.
Yeah.
you almost want to mix and match, you know, and Gwen Stefani, you know, has pulled a lot of these covers into her most recent Christmas album and Pentatonix as well. So Those are all some good versions. I don't really have a standout on this one.
Well, I really like Frank Sinatra again, those J-I-N-G-L-E bells. But the one that really gets to the top of my list for this song is Barry Manilow with Exposé. It's really a cool version of a song that you've heard a million times.
Huh.
And I think this was on his first Christmas album because it's Christmas. And it's just really neat. And it's an interesting mix of these two artists, because you wouldn't think Barry Manilow and Exposé.
I would not have put that together.
Yeah. But it really works, and it's fun. I feel like I should mention whether you call them the singing dogs or the barking dogs, because that was one of the first versions of the first time that they had that kind of thing that got such huge airplay. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it sounds like dogs are barking out jingle bells. It was one of my dad's favorites.
Dogs out.
But it's just the barking. And it's not really one of my favorites. I don't even play it, but it was one of my dad's favorites, so I feel like I have to mention it. So, wow. Dad, I hope you appreciate that. How about Merry Christmas, Baby?
I would say I like my CeeLo version that I listen to a lot. It's in my playlist. I thought that he really added a lot of spice to it, you know, and updated it. I like Sheryl Crow's version, and Bruce Springsteen, Billy Idol did a version as well. Rod Stewart is probably my second next to CeeLo, I would say, because I like the rasp that Rod brings to it, and I thought he did a good job on his.
I like Otis Redding. That's probably my favorite. It's not the first, but it's the one that a lot of people think of. It's the one that you hear in a lot of movies. That's not why I like it, but if it doesn't ring a bell when I say that, I feel like, well, shame on you. It should. No, but it's, you'll recognize it if you go to Spotify and you look up Otis Redding, Merry Christmas, Baby, and you play it, you'll recognize that. I mean, there's so many great classics of it, Charles Brown, Chuck Berry, James Brown. But I like Otis's the best. Eddie Money did a really cool version of it. I like Eddie's a lot. I miss him.
I like playing Baby Hold On to Me a lot. That's one of my favorite songs to play when we play live.
The version that Bonnie Raitt did with Charles Brown in
the
second very special Christmas album. That's a great one, too.
That's a wonderful version, yeah.
Okay, from Merry Christmas, Baby to Merry Christmas, Darling.
Well, that's probably a lock-in with the Carpenters. Oh, my goodness. It's hard to beat Karen Carpenter. I know that Amy Grant had a version that she did in 1999, but it was only available at Target. And so between that and, you know, streaming and everything else, I don't know whether it's available anywhere. I haven't tried looking for it, but there weren't too many covers of this. And I was looking at that going, I wonder if I should cover that because, you know, sometimes it's good to cover the things that haven't been covered to death.
I had singer Jane Monheit on the podcast last fall when her new Christmas album came out. And I had mentioned to her, I really love her voice. And I had mentioned to her that her cover of Merry Christmas, Darling is probably my second favorite cover after the Carpenters and after the one that my wife did.
Oh,
So I, but you know, and my wife is Lisa Kessler, by the way, and you can look that up. It's her version is streaming as well. So you can listen to it and then you can tell me that I'm wrong, but I'm not wrong. But the Carpenters are first on my list.
Yeah.
But it's a tough song to cover because like when we were talking about Blue Christmas with Elvis, the Carpenters, Karen Carpenter's voice is so ingrained in that song that it's tough to you can't copy her,
right?
So do you sort of pay tribute to the way she sang it? Do you do it your own way? It's tough, and lots of artists have tried both. And you know, if you love the song and you want to record it, I get that, and I'm not gonna I'm not going to call you out or anything on it, but it's hard. It's a tough one. It's one of those, it's a tough song to cover. Natalie Cole did a nice version of it too, but it's tough. It's tough. And that's probably why there aren't a lot of covers.
I try to get Richard to help me with it. I'd say, hey, I need to cover this, and you're the only one that can help me get this right.
I bet he would like that.
Yeah.
Rocking Around the Christmas Tree.
I think that's a Brenda Lee fave, you know, with Johnny Marks. I mean, that's just one of those that's out there. I know there's been a few other covers. I haven't listened to some of the other covers like Justin Bieber. I think Casey Musgraves and Camila Cabello did one, and that's probably that would be interesting to give it a Latin flair, you know, that I think she would bring to that. So that would be interesting to hear that version and see how it is.
Well, Brenda Lee is probably my favorite.
Yeah.
But I really like what Cyndi Lauper did with it on her Christmas album, because she made it hers, and it's fun, and it's very Cyndi Lauper. Mm-hmm. And I really like that. And Davy Jones from the Monkees did a version of that. And wow. It's true to the original, but it's Davy singing it. And he had a very distinct voice. And that's one of those that, you know, it's kind of neat to hear a voice that you know and love doing a Christmas song. Mm-hmm. So I really like those. Brenda Lee's my favorite.
Yeah.
But Cyndi Lauper and Davy Jones are would be back alternatives. How about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
Burl Ives for me, because that's probably the first voice that I heard sing it. So that would be a standout for me. Obviously, Gene Autry did the initial version of it, but I think it's definitely a Burl Ives standout overall.
Well, I like Gene Autry, probably for the same reasons you like Burl Ives.
Right.
It's the standout.
Makes a difference when you hear it, yeah.
But there's a couple recent, and I say recent, and it's probably like the last 25, 30 years, versions that I really like. Jewel did a version that it's really kind of neat, because she gets into a scatting jazz sort of take on it about halfway through. If you don't like that, and I know there are people who don't like that kind of thing, if you don't like that, you're not going to like this version. But if you do, it brings a different, it makes it a different take on the song, which I really kind of like. And it's interesting because that's not what you expect from Jewel, but I thought it was really neat. The other one that's a little bit more recent than that one is Jack Johnson's version.
Oh.
And what I really like about Jack Johnson's is that the story of Rudolph is that nobody liked him until he was able to do something that helped them, and then they liked him. But before that, they had treated him badly. And then it was okay because he was useful. And Jack Johnson adds a verse to this about how Rudolph, I see you guys. I know that you called me names up until when you needed me. Mm-hmm. So I like that extra part that he throws in there.
Yeah.
And he makes it fit. It doesn't sound like something got added on. You know, you drive down the street and you see a house and you can tell they added on that garage because it doesn't quite match. But this, I mean, he's doing it in his style and it all flows together. And this extra part to it just fits right in like it's always been there. So I really like that.
Yeah.
How about Run Rudolph Run?
Well, you're going to like this answer. Tim Carnes is actually my favorite on this, and that's whose version I kind of line up with when I'm playing this live, too. I I really like the way she did it and the raspiness and everything. Jimmy Buffett, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Sheryl Crow, Bryan Adams, all have done versions of this. Obviously, Chuck Berry was the first one I heard, so I would definitely put him up there, you know, in my top two of ones that I usually listen to on this.
Well, Chuck Berry would be my top pick. After that, Keith Richards.
Oh, yeah. He did a version too. I forgot about that one. Yeah.
And a third one would be the Foo Fighters, who did it just a few years ago.
Oh.
And what I have found really interesting about that, I mean, today, almost everybody knows who the Foo Fighters are.
Right.
If you listen to current music, I mean, they've been around for a long time, but you know who the Foo Fighters are. And it used to be a big deal when a current band would put out a Christmas single. And this is a good version of this song. And it's very much the Foo Fighters doing it. There's no question, but it kind of came out and disappeared. And I say disappeared, it's still out there. It's still available. But for some reason, traditional radio hasn't warmed up to it. Doesn't play it much, if at all. And I have no idea why, but I play it. Mm-hmm. But I think it's, I like it. I think it's good. I think it's good enough to be one of my picks. And that was tough because there are a lot of good bands, singers and bands that have done versions of that. Cliff Beach, who has advertised on the station for several years for his Christmas album and his new single last year, he did a version of that, and it's very cool. He's his music is a little on the James Brown side, a little funkier than mainstream, and it's certainly funkier than the Foo Fighters, but that's a cool version too. And Bon Jovi have done this, and I like theirs. Sheryl Crow did a really nice version of that too.
Yeah.
And so did the Smithereens. I mean, there have been, you know, Norah Jones did it, and that was good too. And I could, I mean, there's lots of great versions, I think. My only problem with that is the song is called Run Rudolph Run. Chuck Berry wrote it, and that's the title of the song. So many artists put it out and put it out as Run Run Rudolph.
Yes.
and it's a silly little picky thing that's really none of my business, but it's just one of those things that bugs me, because I know the first line of the song is Run Run Rudolph, and that's repeated several times, but Chuck Berry named it Run Rudolph Run, so that should be what you call it if you're covering that song.
Right. Yeah, so. I agree.
Okay. I'll get off the
continuity subject. Is very good in all respects.
I think so.
Yeah.
Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Bruce Springsteen he kind of really blew everybody away with his version when it came out. It's like, you know, you had all these other nice little jazzy kind of versions and all that. And then he came out with his and he's like, whoa, Santa's here. Heck yeah. And it just kind of was like, whoa. And so it's like an earworm, you know, then that version gets stuck in your head. But Jackson 5 is good. You know, you had mentioned that earlier. Mm-hmm. That's another standout. The Four Seasons, you know, Frankie Valli, Mariah Carey, George Strait. There's been a lot of different covers on this, certainly. But I think from a personal favorite, I tend to like Bruce Springsteen's.
I like Bruce's, and I like, I'm trying to think, who was the other one that you mentioned? The Jackson 5, yeah.
Jackson 5,
And I do like the Jackson 5. Yeah. I like Frank Sinatra's version, both the version he did on his own and the duet he did with Cyndi Lauper. I also like the duet Chris Isaak did with Stevie Nicks, which I think is a really cool version. Ooh. Not that these others aren't, but Chris Isaak has that sort of quality to a lot of his songs. And I feel like that kind of comes across here in a song that you wouldn't expect it to be that way. But I really like what he did with that, and with having Stevie Nicks on there, I think was pretty cool.
Cool. I hope that's still out there. I need to look for that.
Yeah, I think that was on his first Christmas album. I think so. How about Silver Bells?
Bing Crosby was definitely one on this. I know there's been several people to cover it, but I think he kind of stood out for me on this. I think that one, him and Perry Como were one of the first voices I remember hearing on this as a kid.
I really like the version by Robert Goulet. Mm-hmm. I feel like that has that rich Christmassy feel.
Kate Smith did a version, I think, too, something.
I like Stevie Wonder's version.
Ooh.
Which is certainly much different than Mr. Goulet's version. And my favorite, though, is by Wilson Pickett. And it is almost a completely different song. He does it and he makes it his own. The lyrics are the same, but it is a rocking, funky, jamming version of the song. And he did it for a thing in the 80s called a Christmas Soul Special. And I don't know if that was actually a TV special or if it was just a compilation of different soul artists that did some different Christmas songs. And he also did a version of Jingle Bells, but his version of Silver Bells is just, it's just wow. And Silver Bells is not really a wow kind of song, but I just really love that. And it's one of those songs that if it's on, you might find yourself singing along and then not sure, why do I know all the words to the song? Oh, it's Silver Bells. Because it doesn't sound like Robert Goulet. Certainly doesn't sound like that. But I just it's my favorite. I just love it every year. It's not Christmas if I haven't heard that. I'll get off my Wilson Pickett soapbox now. How about Sleigh Ride?
Oh, man. Well, since it was definitely started as an orchestral piece, having the Arthur Fiedler and John Williams versions, you know, those are always really nice to hear, to just focus on the orchestral side since that's what it was created for. So those are very special. But I like Johnny Mathis again, Gwen Stefani, Amy Grant. They all did really nice versions of it, too. I like all of those.
I like Amy Grant's version a lot. Yeah. I do like so many of the instrumental versions are terrific. Yes. And those really connect with me because that was a song instrumentally. That was a song that I played in band in high school. Of course. Every December in concert, that was one of the songs we played, and it was one of my favorites. But if you're looking for something a little different, Pomplamoose does a cool version of that from just a couple of years ago. And oh gosh, I completely forgot about the Spice Girls in the 90s when they were still a thing. They did a version of Sleigh Ride.
Oh my gosh, I'll have to look that up.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
But it is hard. There are so many great instrumental versions.
I guess as they're riding, they're zig-a-zig zagging.
Yes.
Tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I want a sleigh ride, a sleigh ride, a sleigh ride.
My favorite non-instrumental version is probably the one that Darlene Love did with the Brian Setzer Orchestra for Jingle All the Way, the Arnold Schwarzenegger Christmas movie. I love her voice, and I love Brian Setzer. Very cool big band. And with that together with Darlene Love, they knock it out of the park as far as I'm concerned. How about the Christmas song, Chestnuts Roasting?
Nat King Cole.
Mm-hmm.
I have to go with that. I couldn't even think of anybody else. Just boom. That's all I could think of. That's the first voice I hear, if I can talk. And you were bringing Mel Torme into it. You know, he was one of the writers. So, man, that's a double bang of a combination right there. Mel Torme writing with Nat King Cole doing that version. Oh, it's wonderful.
Yeah, I love both of those. Eva Cassidy did a version with Chuck Brown in the 90s, and I think she just had such an amazing voice. I love that. It is really hard to pick another after you mentioned you know, Nat King Cole. I mean, so many artists have done this, and I you know, I don't want to.
Right. You got the Michael Bublé version, and you've got all these different.
Yeah. You've got everybody. Just about everybody who has put out Christmas music has done it. You know, Paul McCartney did a version of it, and I love Paul. So hearing his voice on it, that's one of those things that just that makes me love it. Rick Nelson did a version of that. There was a single in the 60s that was great. Cause again, it's a voice that, you know, and that's one of the, just the magical things about Christmas music for so many, when you hear a voice that you know singing a song that you love. Those are just, they're wonderful. All right, one more. White Christmas.
This is a tough one, but I would definitely say, you know, Bing Crosby, because of the movies and different, you know, things like that. And, you know, Frank Sinatra, all the greats, you know, that have covered this. And, you know, there's been a lot of newer covers of it. A lot of people have redone it, but this is one of those where some, the classics kind of prevail as far as, you know, the first thing that you heard on that song being in your head whenever you put that against somebody else singing it.
You know, I think that this is another one of those songs that has to be difficult to record because so many have come before you.
Right.
And done this, and you've got Bing Crosby, whose version of White Christmas, it's like the king of Christmas songs, and anybody else's, it's hard not to measure it against that. The one version that I think you can is the Drifters, because they very bravely took that beloved Christmas song and they made it into something different. And lots of people are starting to cover the way they did it now. Michael Bublé and Shania Twain did a version of that.
I was going to say, that's my favorite duo. You know, I love her because her voice makes it really different when she combines with his. That was a great one.
Imagine Dragons did that kind of as a goof that they posted it on Twitter. And that was back when it was Twitter, not X. And it was popular enough that I think that they put a video out of it. I don't know that there has been a single, but I just would think that for the Drifters to do that, I mean, I think about all of the flack that Elvis got over recording Christmas music and people saying it was devil music and Irving Berlin getting mad and threatening radio stations that were going to play it. And I think about how before that, the Drifters took Bing Crosby's White Christmas and turned it into something different. And that took a lot of guts, and it works, and it's fun, and it's a fun Christmas song, and it's in a different league than Bing's White Christmas, because it's almost a different song. And it just, I really like that. And I like that so many years later, artists are taking that arrangement that the Drifters did and taking a stab at doing it like that, because most of the versions of White Christmas that you hear are very similar, and it's tough because they're all in Bing's shadow. But I think when you hear those first few notes, you know what you're getting, and it's fun, and you can't help smiling. Unless you don't like that song, then you turn it to a different station probably. But I just think that was so cool. And that's definitely one of my favorites. Well, thank you so much for slogging through all of this before I let you go.
We made it.
The original list was a lot longer, but I trimmed it down. And I just want to add that these were the songs that I deemed the most popular, because these had, for the most part, these had the largest number of different versions. Different artists recording each of these songs. So I thought it would be interesting to talk about all of these. And hopefully, if you're still listening, you thought it was interesting too. Happy to have Suzanne from Suzanne's Band here to join me in all of this. Before I let you go, what are you up to?
Oh, my. Well, we are in the throes of redoing Ice and Fire as a Latin pop song. It's going to be called Hielo y Fuego, which of course is Ice and Fire in Spanish. And when we redo this in the Latin pop style, I'm also going to re-record it in English as well, so that way it's more marketable to more stations and playlists and things like that. But that's what's next on the plate. And then once I can get that project out of the way, then it's time for more Christmas music. So you've inspired me, and I need to circle the wagon around and get back to more Christmas music. So that's kind of what's next on the layout right now.
So I have to greedily ask, is there time for something new this year, or is this a Christmas, more Christmas music for probably 2024?
I would say it's probably going to be 2024 before I'm in the studio to start the Christmas song, because Hielo y Fuego has to be put out, and then you've got all the promotion that goes along with it, and that always takes a while. So if I can get Hielo y Fuego out and its two versions before spring and get that promoted, then I can put that aside and then, you know, be ready to swing into the next several projects after that, with the Christmas topping off the first round, which is usually what I do. I always try to make Christmas top priority ahead of whatever the next projects are, so that way it gets done, and I'm looking forward to it.
I am looking forward to it too, and that's one of the things I love to hear, that there's more Christmas music on the way. Is this an original that already? Okay, yeah. I don't want to try.
Original first, and then if I have to, I'm thinking at some point I need to cover something, but I haven't pinpointed, you know, which song I want to record first. It depends on what genre I kind of swing towards would make a difference of which one I pick, you know, to do something with. So we'll see.
I will resist the urge to give you 97 different choices. I find that that happens almost every time I talk to somebody and they have Christmas music on the horizon. I said, oh, you know what you should cover? You should do this, and you should do this, and you should do this, and you should do this.
Well, I will take it. So if you think of some things that haven't been covered to death, you know, that would be nice, you can email me some suggestions. I'll always take it.
Okay. Okay. I have that. I have it recorded now that you said that. So so no complaining. What's the best way for people to find you?
Oh, boy. Well, there's lots of opportunities. Obviously, the website is the best. That's suzannesband.com. SUZANNESBAND.com is a great way. And then I also have this other thing called Flow Page, and that's flow.page/Suzannesband. And it takes you everywhere, you know, the website, the socials, a link to the latest album, videos on YouTube. It's one of those one-stop shopping type things. So either way works. And it's not too early to save the two original Christmas songs, Underneath the Tree or One More Night of Christmas. You can save either one of those onto your Christmas playlist and have it ready, because the time clock is ticking.
That's right. It'll be here before you know it. I'll put links to your website and to Flow Page in the show notes. Yeah. So everybody listening can just pop down there and click those things and head right on over to see you. Thank you so much for spending the last 19 hours with us talking about this Christmas stuff.
It's always a lot of fun, and like I say, I love history and talking about all the different backgrounds to these songs, so it was fun to dig into them.
And thank you so much for listening and for continuing to support the Sounds of Christmas station and podcast. I told you how to listen to the station, and you're already listening to the podcast, so my work here is just about done. All our episodes are available on the Sounds of Christmas website. Just click the podcast tab for that. We also have a Linktree page, so you can find us on your favorite streaming site, and you'll find the link for both of those down in the show notes. Then you can subscribe, and you'll never miss another episode. If you have comments or suggestions on this episode, previous episodes, the Sounds of Christmas Station, or the Sounds of Halloween, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. Thanks again, and may you always believe in Santa Claus.